This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, September 22nd, 2024. The Romans Road, stop number 4, Romans 8, 1 through 2, given by disciple member Dr. Fran Edwards.
Good morning, Connection Church. How is everybody? Good, good, good. Good morning to everyone in the sanctuary, those of you who are online. I'm Fran Edwards, and I'm so blessed to be here to share today's message. My family and I have been coming to Connection for 19 years, so this is such an honor today. Stop 4 on the Romans Road. So those of you who have been with us on this series, you know that Barry started preaching from Romans 3, 23. Such a powerful testimony. Pastors Alan and Carrie, stops 2, Romans 5, 8, stop 3, with a focus on Romans 6, 23. And so today, I'm so glad that you are here to continue this journey. Stop 4, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives us life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, for those of you who have been with us for this series, you know that there are some common themes along each stop. The explanation of why we need salvation, how God provides that salvation, how we can receive it, and then the results of that salvation. Before we begin, would you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together and hear your word and just be filled and fed by it, Lord. We ask that you remove all distractions from those of us who are in the sanctuary, those listening online, and just settle us in to receive your message, Lord, and may it just be a blessing as we go on from this place this afternoon. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So, like Barry, who blessed us with the message in this series, I was so humbled when Carrie and Alan asked me to preach, then I wanted to phone a friend. So I went to the verse, and have you ever had a moment in your life where you know that you know that you know you shouldn't be doing something? Like preaching on Sunday. So I immediately thought to myself, there's no way that I can stand in front of folks in person, online, and talk about living with no condemnation. There's no way that I could do that. And my personal reasons are endless. My shame, the feeling that I'm not worthy, and even my own misunderstanding of what God's grace and salvation actually really mean. So it sounds really simple. If we as Christians understand that Jesus' grace is unconditional and not based on any of our actions, then we should be able to receive that profound thought and feel liberated because of it. But I don't know about you, it's not that easy. I still struggle to accept that grace is a gift and to live my life knowing that God wants nothing more for us than to live out this scripture. So let's dive into Romans 8:1. And see what stop 4 is all about. So let's read the first part of it together. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see the dot, dot, dots. There's a comma after that, so we'll get to that in verse 2. But before we can really appreciate freedom from condemnation, we have to fully understand its reality and what it means. From a legal perspective, condemnation implies that there's a guilty verdict and that we now will be serving a sentence. In the spiritual world, it means that you've been found guilty of sin and you are deserving of punishment. But if we think back to that first message in that guiding scripture, Romans 3:23, it reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for those of us who are Christ followers, we know that without Christ, we stand in that condemnation. So it's really easy. You sin, you text Jesus, you tell him you're sorry, you accept his grace, shout hallelujah, then you have to testify, because that's what we do as Christians. We have to share that testimony, then we rinse, repeat, do it all over again, right? Really easy. Not that easy. It's not easy for us, but if we dig into the Bible, we'll see that it's not easy for those folks in the Bible as well. So many examples in the Bible illustrate the struggle to accept God's grace. In Luke, we have Peter's denial of Jesus. So he is one of Jesus' closest disciples, and he denies knowing Jesus 3 times, and mainly out of fear. After realizing what he had done, he is filled with guilt and, of course, shame. Despite this, Jesus forgave Peter and he reaffirmed him in his role in the church. And in chapter 21 of John, we see that Jesus meets Peter on the beach and he asks him three times this: if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, feed my sheep. Now, Carrie and Alan have preached about sheep a number of times, and we know how important a flock is to its shepherd. And what Jesus is doing in this moment is sending a clear message to Peter that I have forgiven you, or else he would not entrust Peter with that flock. It shows that forgiveness is always available. But what about in our own lives? I think, what about in my life? Are we living out the fact that forgiveness is always available? Do we believe it? I can honestly say that I haven't always believed it, and I don't always feel like I am worthy of forgiveness. So people will look at Micah and me and our kids and think that we're such a strong family, that we have it together. I saw you move over and make me nervous, but we're good. We'll talk about that later. The majority of our church family, our family and friends, know the struggles that we've had for the last couple of years with Josh and his health. And while Josh, who's over with that youth group that Bonnie is asking people to serve in because there's so many kids, while he's over in the youth group, he looks healthy. He looks like he's like 100% healed. But there are some things that we still deal with each and every day. And so we don't always share them. We kind of keep them close to the chest because it's really difficult. It's painful. So I do want to share some things with you. And I did talk to Josh about it. So he's in agreement with his church family having a little more insight into his life. So every morning, our home life is like the movie Groundhog Day. It's nothing like Bill Murray's humorous portrayal in the film. It is frustrating. It is draining. It is daunting. It is those things that you cannot see that cause us pain and frustration. So Joshua suffers from ADHD, anxiety. He has an eating disorder called AFRID, which stands for Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. I'm not going to make you repeat that or memorize that. And then on Wednesday, I believe it this week, he was diagnosed with juvenile arthritis. So, and he was out playing basketball right after the doctor's appointment, so he's good. And he also still deals with some of those challenges from the functional neurological disorder. And so the best way to visualize how his brain functions is like this. So I'm Josh right here. There are four people standing around him, and they're all sharing different detailed instructions for him to do something. There's music playing in the background. Josh is humming to the music, but he's also trying to figure out how to listen to all the instructions from all four people. He is unable to focus, and even though he tries to use something called stimming, which is a self-stimulatory behavior to calm and redirect himself, that is often unnerving to me, because it takes on the form of screeches or humming or repetitive speech or repetitive actions. So from the time Josh wakes up, he is being redirected or guided through every single step that it takes to get ready, things that you and I take for granted. And it's gotten so much better, but there was a point where we had to show him how to put the toothpaste on a toothbrush, where to put the toothbrush, how to use the toothbrush. And when his brain actually wakes up, I have cried off round one of the makeup. I am drained, probably had a few hot flashes, and I definitely know that I've said a few things that are ungodly. I have yelled at him, so anybody that has challenges with a family member, a loved one that has ADHD knows that yelling makes it worse. And so we get nowhere. I can't tell you how many times I've said to myself in my head, and even out loud, that I hate my life, I hate my circumstances, that it's all my fault. Because as a woman who had a child at advanced maternal age, I knew the science said that I ran the risk of having a son that had greater neurological challenges. I often think about how unfair it is for a 15-year-old kid to have to go through all of this. But I am unapologetically not ashamed of those feelings. And you want to know why? Because I'm a human being. And I'm a parent. And who wouldn't want their child to be healthy and well and whole? And who wouldn't want their home to be a place of peace? But what I am ashamed of are the statements and the thoughts that come with so much anger towards God. I'm telling you that there are times where I totally forget how present God has been over the last 2 years, that we have navigated Joshua's health challenges. It's like I take off this hat associated with my walk with Christ and my faith, and I put on a hat of someone who wants to be a victim, who wants to complain, who wants to give up. And for me, that shame makes it so difficult to accept the fact that because of God, we get to live without that condemnation. We get to wake up each and every day, and we can rejoice in the fact that God has given the world the gospel. But that shame, the shame that Peter felt, the shame that I feel, that shame is so powerful, and it can lead you down a path of self-condemnation. So let's unpack that. What is self-condemnation? That is not being able to let go of something that we have done to someone, some anguish or pain that we've caused, a past sin. Maybe you've been in that dark place. Maybe someone online right now is struggling to get out of that place. But here's the thing. All of that goes away when we cling to God, when we cling to Christ and take refuge in Him and His Word. In Christ, there is no condemnation. So let's take a look at a few key takeaways on our journey this morning. The first one is freedom from that condemnation. So this means that as believers, we no longer have to feel that judgment. We no longer have to feel like we're being condemned for our sins because Jesus has taken on that condemnation Himself. So going back to the shame that I carry, that we all sometimes carry, the Bible tells us that instead of that shame, He wants to share a double portion and that we shall have everlasting joy. But you and I can't have that joy if we make the choice to live as we are condemned, to wallow in our sin rather than repent and accept the gift of no condemnation. The fact that we are free from condemnation is so reassuring. And this scripture underscores the fact that He sacrificed His death. And through the resurrection, Jesus has removed that condemnation that once separated us from God. So I can tell you firsthand what a separation from God feels like and what it can do. It can harden your heart, and it makes you vulnerable to Satan's will. And so my personal struggles with Josh are real, but what I am learning as I make a more conscious effort to be focused on God's way rather than my way, rather than a pity party, rather than a fit of anger, is to lean on God. Now, there have been moments where I have just put my hand on Josh and I have started to pray, not for Josh, but for me, praying for patience, praying for grace, maybe a little grace for both of us, praying that my eyebrows will stay painted on and I won't have another crying fit. And I do apologize. I take the time to apologize to Josh because I don't always get it right and my actions don't always reflect God. You see, that connection to God is unbreakable even when we're not at our best. So let me say that again. The connection to God is unbreakable even when we are not at our best. That freedom from condemnation is cemented in the fact that we also have life in the Spirit. And that's the second takeaway. This verse suggests that as Christians, we make a conscious decision to go from living through the flesh and living through our own desires to living according to the Spirit. So not only are we free from condemnation, but as Christians and as Christ followers, we are living a life that is pleasing to God and free from sin. So the real deal here is that God empowers us to walk in obedience and holiness. So when we have those blips, when we're not having a good day, when we have a setback, when the halo doesn't shine so bright, the Holy Spirit is delivering us from the bondage and sin, and that enables us to claim the victory. When you read Romans 8:1, you notice that comma. Verse 1 is directly connected to verse 2, which speaks about the Spirit. That passage says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death." So basically what we learn here is that there is a transformative power if you have faith in Jesus and the offering of a new life through the Holy Spirit. A few days ago, I lost it. We were trying to get dinner together, and Josh wasn't at his best. Admittedly, neither was I. Bless you. At the end of the day, his meds kind of wear off, and it's really difficult to get anything accomplished. So we had prepared dinner, but in that moment of frustration, I threw my bowl on the ground. It shattered, everything went everywhere. I just walked away. And so I'd never reacted like that before. But I was in a place where the stress from my workday, coupled with my own desire to be in control rather than allowing God to have control, and me being frustrated with the fact that I can't fix Josh every single time I want to fix him, got in the way of God's grace. When you are emotionally and spiritually strained, it is exhausting. When we are feeling overwhelmed by life's challenges, whether it's a family member with medical issues, a broken relationship, stress at work, financial challenges, or even our own health, we run the risk of being disconnected from our faith. But in that moment, I did something different. I didn't beat myself up. I didn't let that type A person get in the way. I came back in the room. I cleaned up, apologized to Micah and Josh, and I thanked God. And in that moment, this is why I thanked him. Because God calls us to leave the past behind. Now, this doesn't mean that the scars of painful things that are said or done are gone. We have to live with those scars. I will live with the fact that we will never have a dinner party with 12 guests because we're now absent one bowl. But seriously, what does it mean that we are redeemed and restored in Jesus Christ? And we can look forward to knowing that we are free from condemnation and that we have that life through the Spirit. That is an amazing and powerful thing. Allowing God's grace into our lives helps us to navigate some of those challenges with a more calm and trusting heart, leading to a more filled and balanced life. That's what Jesus wants us to have. So we may not always get it right, but God does. Let me say that again. We may not always get it right, but who does? God does, yes. So the third takeaway is really big. Are you ready? Because of the death and the resurrection, we have a life of victory and abundance. That is amazing, to have a life of victory and abundance. So in John 10:10, it reads this: the thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life to the full. And that is so powerful. So the other day I was listening to one of our great Bible scholars and comedians, radio personality Steve Harvey. And he had this to say. Go with me, people. If you are on an assignment from God, no matter how minimal or how grand, opposition is going to present itself. The devil is going to try to distract you from that plan and derail you. But know this, God has already worked everything out. He wants you to have that life to the full. But he does remind us that the thief is going to come. He's going to try to steal. He's going to try to kill. And he's going to try to destroy. But here's something that I want you to take with you today. Sometimes we are that thief. Those negative scripts that we're playing over and over again in our heads that say that we are not worthy of God's love. That self-condemnation and that shame that binds us. Even our unwillingness to forgive ourselves sometimes when we fall short. I don't know about you, but I am on an assignment from God. I know that God has a purpose for me each and every day that I wake up, and he has a unique purpose for everyone in this sanctuary, everyone online, and he wants you to fulfill that. But we cannot fully live out that plan if we don't accept his transformational power and the new life that he offers. Living out the truth of Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, means that we embrace and reflect on the freedom and the grace that comes from being in Christ. So I want to leave you with some practical ways that you can do this each and every day. And the first one is to accept God's forgiveness. Start each day reminding yourself that you are forgiven and you are loved by God. This helps you to let go gradually of that guilt and that shame. Number two is to live by the Spirit. Seek to be guided by the Holy Spirit in your daily actions and your decision making. This means prioritizing your spiritual growth and being sensitive to how God is leading in your lives. The other day, here we go, great Bible scholar, star of Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds. He shared what he learned about himself after the death of his dad, who fought Parkinson's disease. He said, you know, I have to be more focused on observation rather than evaluation. And in that interview, he went on to talk about the fact that he wished he had been a lot more gentle with his father, a lot more empathetic, and he wished that he had tried to understand how his father was living with Parkinson. And so as a father himself, he says he's now more open to just observing what is going on in his life. We spend a lot of time evaluating and trying to fix what only God can handle. If we make a deliberate choice to live by the Spirit, then we are more inclined to prioritize that spiritual growth in our lives, and we can not only observe God's working in us, we can cherish how God is actualizing things all around us. The third one is to extend grace to others. Just as you have received grace, offer it to others. Be quick to forgive and slow to judge. And the last one is to stay connected to God. You want to maintain a close relationship with Christ by praying, reading the Bible, worshiping, and getting connected with others in small groups. This keeps you grounded in His true and faithful love. I know that tomorrow, probably going to wake up and feel like it's Groundhog Day all over again in the cul-de-sac. But I do know that God has got it. God's got Joshua, He's got me, and He's got everyone within the sound of my voice. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I hope these words have helped to lighten your load and make it a great week. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the fact that we can live with no condemnation. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, Lord. And we just thank you for that unconditional love and that forgiveness when our halo is not shining so bright. God, we ask that this message be a blessing. And we just ask that you just prepare us to receive what we're going to receive as we go on that final step on our Romans road next week. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life He offers.